have been said. Request and everything that's been said and done thus far, we appreciate everything. I'd like to echo what Brother Michael said about welcoming the visitors. We're glad you're here.
Amen.
And we hope you will indeed find your place in the service.
Amen.
And I certainly desire an interest in your prayers. And I do also want to ask y'all to remember Derek and the family as they're traveling back right now. The good thing about all this, Brother Derek told me back here last night before he left, and then this morning we got a text from him letting us know what has happened. And back here last night and this morning again, the last thing he said about it was his daddy had been saved. Thankful for that.
Amen.
But I got to studying about that. They left here last night. It was probably 11 o'clock when they got headed out and drove 3 hours down into Alabama. Was at the hospital all night. His daddy passed away early this morning, about 6:15, I think it was. And then they've done what they've got to do there and have loaded up and are heading back. And I'm satisfied they haven't slept. Y'all remember to pray for them. That God will just keep them safe and they'll get back safely. And y'all, as was mentioned, remember to pray for Ryan and for Jacob. If they're not lost, it ain't going to be long. And things like this can affect people and does affect people. We all know that to be the fact. So let's remember to pray for all of them and pray that God would just have his way in everything that's going on. We have, as we have tried to study, this morning I woke up with a thought.
Amen.
And it was just beautiful.
Yeah.
I was getting ready, going about taking my shower and whatnot, and there was just thoughts rolling through my head. And I was just rejoicing over all of that was there. And then it was just all of a sudden, as the Lord said, that ain't for them, that's for you.
Bless you.
Sure is nice when he does that.
Yeah.
It sure is nice.
But
God help. Bless you, Sister Ann.
Remember those that have strayed away.
Yeah.
That he'll bring them back.
That's right. God
can.
He can.
And I just ask God to pray for them.
Yeah. Lord, do help. Lord, do help. Bless you, Sister Ann. I appreciate this. Let's remember her grand boy. And, God can get him back here.
Sure can.
He's big enough to do that. Y'all remember to pray for them. But as we were saying, the thoughts were there and they were so clear. And it was just like the Lord said, this is for you. And then I went to thinking, well, then Lord, what do I need to say this morning? And as we considered that, some thoughts came to us, and logic, I guess, would dictate that this is something you'd preach early in a revival, not well on up in the meeting, but God's ways are higher than our ways.
Amen.
God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And God knows better about what's going on than I do.
Amen.
So having said that, we have on our heart to look at a few verses in the 19th chapter of the Gospel of Luke to start our consideration this morning. And I want to ask, I don't know, y'all can tell my throat's just as sore as it can be after last night. And I may not get to be real loud, and I may before the end's up, but however this works out, I want to ask you that are here, please pay attention. And I don't say that because I want y'all to look at me and think I'm something and it feed my ego that everybody's listening to me. I want you to listen to this because I really believe that God has laid this on my heart, and it'll help somebody here. And you children that are here, I want you to listen carefully. Now, you may be sitting here, and nothing's bothered you all week, and everything's been fine, you're not lost, you're not accountable, you've heard that's going to happen, and all of that, and all of these things, and you're saying, well, I don't need to pay attention. Yes, you do.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
And I hope you will this morning.
Yeah.
Because really there's a lot in this that we're going to try to address today that I think will speak directly to you, if not today, then it will soon. And I hope that you will listen and pay careful attention to what I'm going to try to say. I'm going to try to be real careful today not to use big words. And if I do, I'm going to try to back up and explain them so it's clear. Because I want you to understand. And like Brother Michael said earlier, we're not going to educate you into being saved.
Right.
But I think you need to know what it is that's coming.
Right.
I think you need to understand that. You need to have it, and you deserve to have it plainly and clearly explained to you. With that thought in mind, in the 19th chapter of the book of Luke, the Lord was passing through a town by the name of Jericho. And we find here that there was a man by the name of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a short man, low of stature. He wasn't a tall man, but he was a chief among the publicans. In other words, a tax collector, but he was more than just a tax collector. He was the head of the tax collectors, I guess you'd put it that way. And it said he was rich. Now, he wanted to see Jesus. He had heard about him. He was interested in him. And he heard that he was coming by. The account here points out how that he couldn't see him because of the great crowd that was around the Lord because of his short stature. So he determined which way that the Lord was going, and he ran on ahead, and there was a sycamine tree, and he climbed up in the tree just to see the Lord. Just wanted to see him, was interested that much in him. And as the Lord came along, he looked up and he saw him, and he said unto him in verse 5, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. In other words, the Lord is saying, you get down, I'm going to go home with you. I'm going to sit down, and you're wanting to see me so bad, you're going to get the chance. Isn't that a wonderful thing that God is that interested in people? And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all... Let me hit this right here. When it says he received him joyfully, what he means is he took him and brought him to his house, and it pleased him to be able to do that.
Right.
This is not an act of him receiving Christ as his personal Savior. It means that he brought him to his house.
Right.
And brought him in as a guest and treated him respectfully. And it says, when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Y'all remember he was a publican. We touched on this last night about the way a lot, or earlier in the meeting, how that people look at publicans. They were tax collectors. They didn't like them. And this one was not just a tax collector, but the chief of the tax collectors, and he was rich. The implication being that he'd probably come by some of that in a little bit dishonest manner. But Zacchaeus stood and he said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Half of it. And if I have taken anything from any man by a false accusation, I restore to him fourfold. In other words, if I wrongfully took $5 from somebody and I realize it, I'm giving him 20 back. Doesn't sound like he came by his wealth by ill-gotten means. In other words, he wasn't a thief. But Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, what he is saying here, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time here with Zacchaeus, but I believe that Zacchaeus put his trust in the Lord, either right here or previously had. I don't know which. I'm not going to get into a big discussion about that. It doesn't matter, really, as long as he did put his trust in the Lord. And I believe he did from the way the Lord is talking about this. But he said this, the Lord said this, and it's what we want to base our thoughts on this morning. It said, for the Son of Man, and Christ is the one speaking here, and he's speaking directly about himself. He said, the Son of Man, I have come to seek. In other words, to look for, and more than to look for, but to save that which was lost. What I want to try to talk to you that are here about today is that the Lord is interested in those that are lost, so much so that He is crying out to them and calling to them and seeking those that are lost.
Right.
He is interested. He is concerned about those that are lost. He is interested in them, and He has determined and made a plan whereby that which is lost can be saved or be redeemed or be brought back to the point that it is no longer lost. But with this in mind, there is, I think it's incumbent upon us today to try to speak to you concerning that and concerning what it is to be lost. In the 14th chapter of the book of Romans, there is a verse or two here that I want to read. And it says, "For in verse 11 of the 14th chapter, For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. But then it says this in verse 12, So then every one of us, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. The point I want you to see in this is that there is not a man, a woman, or a child, with a few exceptions that we're fixing to go over, that is not going to stand before God and give an account for themselves.
Amen.
Now, let me get this out here. There are some exceptions. There are people that are born into this world that for whatever reason, when God forms them, He forms them in such a way that their mind never comes to maturity. There are people in this world that when they have lived their life, mentally speaking, they are still like a baby.
Right.
I do not believe that God holds those individuals accountable.
Amen.
And I believe that they are safe And I believe that they are secure.
Amen.
And when they leave this life, they go to be with the Lord.
Amen.
That is one state that somebody could be in. But I look around here and I look at the children here. And I look at you and I've been around most all of you outside of this church. There's some visitors that I've not, but the majority of you, I've been around you. You're not in that state. We have some of as sharp a kids as I've ever been around right here among us. They're smart. They're educated. They're able. They're capable. God has fashioned their minds where they can understand and comprehend the things whereof we speak. You kids are sharp, and I'm proud that God has given you that ability to understand that He has given you. You're not in that state. There is another state that I believe that God won't hold accountable. To illustrate this, in the long ago, there was a man by the name of David. He was king. He sinned. He sinned, and as a result of his sin, there was a child that was born. God sent the prophet Nathan to him, pointed out to him his sin, his fault, his mistake. And as a result of that, God says, the child will not live. When the child was born, we find David out crying, weeping, pleading with God for an extended period of time, begging God for mercy in that child's behalf. After several days, as I understand it, he perceived that the servants were afraid to tell him, but he perceived that the child had died. He asked them plainly. And they told him plainly that this little baby that was just a few days old had died. Now, contrary to what they would have expected, which what they expected is that he would have just broke completely down after the way he had been acting. Contrary to that, what he did is he got up, he washed himself, he put clothes back on, anointed his head with oil, and commanded that meat should be set before him so he could sit down and eat. And they couldn't understand this, but he explained it to them. He said, I cannot bring him back. I can't make this child come back. When someone dies, that's the end of it. Okay? We pointed that out last night. As the tree falleth, that's where it's going to be. But he said here that the situation that they were in was that child could not be brought back. He said, but I will go to be with him.
Right.
Now I'm going to ask you something about David. Do y'all suppose he was a child of God? It'd be hard for me to consider him any other way.
Amen.
He was one of the Lord's. And he had a confidence, an assurance of where he was going. And he also had an assurance about where that child was at. Before that an individual becomes accountable. And I'm going to go back and explain that word here in just a second. Before that time comes, that child is safe. And should death find them before that time, they go to be with the Lord.
Right.
Let's look at that accountable for just a second. When we read this verse back here in the 14th chapter of Romans, it says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. What that is talking about is that we're going to stand up in front of God and we're going to have to answer for ourselves about what we've done and about who we are and about our situation. That does not mean that I'm going to stand up and answer in your behalf. That does not mean that your mother or your father or anybody else is going to give an account for you. You are personally responsible before God to give that account. And when a person has to give that account, that is what we term accountability. You say, well, you've lost me right there, preacher. Before that, you realize that you are lost. You are safe. You're secure. But the moment that you become lost, that you become accountable before God, then you are responsible to God for the condition that you are there, are then, right then, presently in. That means you have to give an account to God. You have to answer for yourself. That is what we term accountability. That is what we are referring to when we say someone becomes lost. It means Paul, in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans, he said, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." Huge big words in here. And I can understand, as a young person, not knowing what the words mean, not really getting what this is saying, it would be confusing. Please, y'all pray for me so I can explain it the right way. Paul is here and he's talking about the law. God has expectation for all of humanity about what is right and what is wrong. And God doesn't just let us wonder about what that is. He's declared what's right and he's declared what is wrong.
Amen.
Okay? And that is what I understand is being meant here by the law. What is morally correct in the eyes of God and what is morally incorrect in the eyes of God. There's the difference. And he said that the law was there, and he said, what are we going to say about the law? Is the law sin? In other words, is sin in our life because God established the law? And then he answers this. He said, nay, I had not known sin but by the law. Listen, friends, God determines and has established and has said exactly what's right and what's wrong. That is the law. But that does not make you sin. What that does is reveal to you that you are a sinner. He said, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Go back with me into the book of Genesis real quick. God created man. And when he created man, he created him and he set him in a garden. And inside of that garden, there was everything that mankind could need. Everything that was essential. Everything that was necessary. And it was a state of perfection that mankind was in. He gave the man his wife, and they were there. And the Bible says something about them. It says they were naked and were not ashamed. And as they were going about this state of perfection in this place that God had created and set them in, everything was just like it needed to be. And God had determined and told the man one thing. He gave him one law. He said, there is a tree of the knowledge of good and evil that is in the midst of the garden. Every other tree here, you can eat. Every other tree, you can partake of. It's for you, it's there, but this one that is in the midst of the garden, don't touch it. Don't eat it, for in that day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The Bible says that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. He came and he convinced the woman to take of that fruit and to try it. And she gave to her husband who was with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were opened. The law that God gave was previous to them doing this action. So you see, the law did not cause them to sin.
Amen.
The law was not intended to trick man or to catch man and push him into sin. God knew what was going to happen when they took that. He knew the state that they would end up as a result of that. So God set a law out here and said, don't do it. Don't do it. Warning them to stay away from that. But they, by their voluntary choice, you say, well, Satan came along and he made them do that. He never did no such thing.
Right.
He came by and he appealed to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the desires that they had. He told the woman, why, this is good for food and it's a tree to be desired to make one wise.
Right.
He appealed to what her nature might have been. He appealed to her in that manner. But she took, she ate. She is the one that was guilty, and Adam took and he did eat. Adam was the one that was guilty. Do you understand that? The law wasn't there to trick them into doing this. The law was there to keep them from doing that that God knew would hurt them. The law was there to protect them, to keep them from that state that God knew they were going to get in if they went on. But what they did is they made that choice to enter into that. And as a result of it, what God had said was going to happen did happen. Okay? It wasn't to trick them. It wasn't to cause them to get into that state. It was to keep them from that state. The law that it stands today, that is before us, that we understand, that God has said don't do this because there are consequences to it, that's not to trick us into doing something. That's to keep us from doing something. To keep us from the danger. To keep us out of sin.
Amen.
But Paul said, are we going to call the law sin? And then he said, no! No, we're not going to do that. He said, I wouldn't have even known what sin was but by the law. That doesn't mean he wouldn't have done the sin. It doesn't mean that he wouldn't have lusted. It just means he wouldn't have understood what it was. So see, everybody's against, or it seems like a lot of people in this world today are against the law of God. Brethren, I think we ought to magnify the law of God. It's something that is there to help us, to prevent us from getting into situations where we're an offense to God. And more than that, it is there to point out to us when we have offended God. And here this is, and Paul said, I was there, and sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. Great big word right there. What it means is an inordinate desire or a lust. It worked because there that was, and what it worked in me, sin. What sin worked in me, not the law. What the sin worked in me was a desire to do that that I knew I shouldn't do. Because the law said don't do it. But sin that was in him worked that. And he said, for I was alive without the law once. This is what we were describing earlier. The little children. Those that their minds can't comprehend. There is a state that they're in, just like a little child of absolute innocence. It is the state that Adam and Eve were in before they violated God's law, before they sinned. And there wasn't trouble, there wasn't condemnation that they experienced at that time. And as children, we grow up around this. And it may catch us off guard from time to time, but there's not trouble down inside about it. But to you children that are here, that are in that state at this present moment, listen to me. There's coming a day. There is coming a day, and I don't know when it is, and nobody else here knows when it is, but there is coming a day that's going to change. That peace, that just utter lack of concern is going to stop. And where there's never been trouble, where there's never been condemnation, all of a sudden, all of that is going to come flooding in. And there's going to be a change that is distinctly as it can be, is going to be something you can understand. You'll get it. You'll get it. There's not going to be a necessity, a need for me to sit down and tell you at that time, this is what's going on. You're going to know what it is. You're going to get it. You're going to understand that there's something wrong between you and God. I can tell you that I didn't hear this growing up. I wasn't taught that there is a specific age or a time when you become accountable before God. I was taught that when you're 12 years old, you need to go ahead and follow the Lord. So I didn't understand the very points that I am expressing to you, and really didn't get a concept of that till I was well up in my teens. But in between those two times, I can tell you there was times that I laid down on my bed and I knew something wasn't right. I knew it. I didn't need somebody else to tell me that. I didn't need somebody else to explain it to me. It helped me when they explained it to me. Because I couldn't have put it into words. I couldn't have explained it. But I knew it was there. I knew that inherently I knew that if I died in the state that I was in right then, there wasn't any hope for me. I understood enough to know that. And I didn't need somebody to tell me that. I knew that. And I'm telling you, children, there's going to come a day that you'll know the same thing. You may be 7, 8, 9 years old. You may be 12. You may be on up 15, 16 years old. You may be 18 or 19 years old before you really realize that. I don't know. But there is coming a day that you will realize that. And it'll be real. It'll be clear. It'll be something that you won't have to ask somebody else about. You'll just know. There'll be a change. And you'll be afraid to be around the house of God. You'll be afraid to be around the people of God. It'll change. There won't be the same type of feeling that you enjoy today.
Right.
Paul said, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. What he is talking about is this point where you become accountable. And what actually happens right then is sin revives, or it becomes alive. See, it's not that you've not sinned. As a little child, it's not that you've not sinned. Quite the contrary, the Bible says we come forth from our mother's womb speaking lies. That's sin. Lying is sin. Okay? And we come forth from our mother's womb speaking lies is what the Bible teaches. So it's not that you've not sinned. It's just that God doesn't hold you accountable for that. But there's going to come a day when your mind is capable of comprehending the gospel. When you are able to understand it. And God is going to call you in a very real, very personal manner accountable before Him. And at that moment, you are responsible to give an answer for yourself before God. Mama and Daddy can't do that for you. Mama and Daddy won't know about that. The preacher won't be able to help you at that moment. But that is coming to you. And when it comes, listen to me, lost children. Do not hesitate. Do not allow Satan to run in there, and I will tell you for an assurity, he will. He will tell you that's not what it is. He will tell you, you don't need to let anybody else know about that. You need to keep that to yourself. That is a lie, a lie, a lie.
Amen.
Now you may be, when that happens, off by yourself and nobody else around. You may be right in the middle of the house of God. You may be at school. You may be at the swimming pool or at the park or at the ball field. Or you may be anywhere that you can possibly imagine. Let me tell you what to do when that happens. I don't care if you're at school where they say you can't pray. I don't care if you're at the ball field when it's important that you keep up with your game. I don't care where you're at or what's happening or what's going on around you. The thing to do at that moment is get down right where you're at. And start begging God
Amen.
To forgive you because you've offended Him.
Right
then. Don't hesitate about it. Don't put it off. I don't know when it's coming. But it's coming, lost children. And I don't want you to take the chance. Not even for one moment. Not for 1 hour. Now, for one day, I don't want you to take the chance that death will catch you in that state. Don't take that chance. It's too dangerous. This time is coming. It came to me. It came to your mama. It came to your daddy. It came to Brother Mike. It came to these brethren sitting over here. It has come to everybody you've ever heard stand up and tell about the Lord saving their soul. It came to every one of these friends of yours that you've seen around here seeking the Lord. It comes. It's on its way. It's going to happen. And when it does, listen to me. The Lord came to seek and to save that which is lost.
Amen.
The Lord is there and He wants to save you. His design, His purpose is for you to be one of His and to walk with Him and to experience that joy and that fellowship that Adam and Eve had there walking in the cool of the day when God came and talked with them and spoke with them and communed with them. He wants you to have that. But sin is already in your life. Already there. And one of these days, God's going to hold you accountable for that. And when you're held accountable for that, the only way for you to come back and be in a right standing with God, to make things right between y'all, is for you to humble your heart down before God and beg Him. Beg Him for the salvation of your soul. You've hurt God's feelings. You've offended Him. If you hurt your mama, if you hurt your daddy, and you became aware of that, if you hurt the feelings of one of your friends, and you became aware of that, your heart would break. You'd be tore up about it. And you'd want to make it right with them, wouldn't you? How much more God? How much more God? That you've offended Him, that you've hurt His feelings. The one that gave you life. It didn't come from your mama and daddy. It came through your mama and daddy. But your life came from God. The one that gave you life. That gave you the ability, the understanding, the reasoning, to comprehend the very things that we're speaking to you about here today. God gave that to you. That's the one that's offended. That's the one that's hurt. That's the one that you need to make things right with.
Yeah.
That comes about through what we would term apologizing. But when it comes to the sense that we're talking to God, it's repentance.
Yeah.
Because God is not offended by some little thing. But God is offended by sin.
Yeah.
And the way to fix sin is repentance.
Yeah.
And then put your trust in the provision, the payment that He's made for you. The plan that He's made for you, which is Christ. That Christ came and He died and He suffered in your place so you could come back and be right with God. God wants that. That's what He desires in your life. And not just that you could be saved, but that you could then come to a knowledge of the truth, that you could walk with Him, that you could find the joy, that you could find that joy that you have seen here expressed in the faces of these people that you've been growing up around. That you can have that contentment that you can see when the Lord passes by here like He has through this meeting, and the children of God are made to rejoice, to shout the praises of God, to stand with tears of joy and recount how that God saved their soul. He wants you to have that. He wants you to have it. But you're not going to get to that point until something happens, which first of all is that you realize you're lost.
Amen.
You can't get saved until you're lost. Okay? Let's be clear about that. I don't want for you children to become accountable before God, but you're gonna. You're gonna. It scares me when I see children approaching that age. It scares me. But I know for a certain fact it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. And until that happens, until there's a change where that everything was okay and all of a sudden it's not okay, you're not going to get saved. I appreciate the sincerity, the willingness that I see sometimes in little children to want to do things for God. I appreciate it. I'm glad that they've been instructed that they need to do things for God, that they need to try to be close to God. But listen to me. You're not going to be close to God until you're saved. And you're not going to be saved until such time as you become lost. That's the first thing that's going to happen. You've heard, you've listened, you've seen. All of those things are set before you. But until you come accountable before God, until God says you are responsible in a very real and personal manner for the sin that you have committed and I am offended at, until that happens, you're not going to get saved. But when that happens, that's when you need to seek the Lord.
Amen.
Right then. Right then.
Yeah.
Don't hesitate about it. It doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out thing. If you will turn and you will turn with all your heart and you will turn just like that, I have heard people tell it and I believe it to be the truth. I told earlier in the meeting about the lady that was going over the fence, realized on this side of the fence she was lost, realized on this side of the fence that the Lord had saved her soul. Y'all heard Sister Wanda tell about it when she was standing on the creek bank, realized that if she went off in that water, she was going to die, and she knew she was lost and came to herself just a few moments later, singing on the creek bank with peace in her heart.
Yeah.
Listen, it doesn't take a long time. The reason that you see these others that go and go and go and go is because they refuse to submit themselves to God.
Right.
And you that have went and went and went, I'm not saying that to hurt your feelings. I'm saying that to encourage you that if you'll just submit, it'll be done just like that.
Right.
Quickly. You that are here, this is coming. When it comes, please, don't push it aside. Don't push it off. Don't try to get away from it. But fall down somewhere right that moment and seek the Lord. And stay right there and just keep seeking Him till you find Him and you know down inside yourself that He has saved your soul. I sure hope y'all will hear it. I hope God in His infinite wisdom and mercy and loving kindness will just put this in the back of your mind if you're not accountable yet and bring it all back to you the moment you become accountable.
Amen.
And if you're here and you're accountable and you've never told nobody about it, let me share this with you before we close. You're just as lost can be.
That's right.
Whether you tell me about it, whether you tell Brother Michael, whether you tell your mama or your daddy or your granddaddy or your grandma or anybody else, whether you've ever told your friends or anybody else, you may think you've got it all hid and it's all down inside of you and you're still just as lost as you can be. Telling people doesn't make you lost. God calling you accountable is what makes you lost.
Amen.
Telling people is a good thing to do because then they know the state you're in and they can pray for you. But whether you ever tell anybody or not, if God has called you accountable, you're accountable. If God has let you know in your heart and that trouble's there, listen to me. You're on your way to hell right then. Right then. You're not on your way to hell when the preacher preaches about hell and you get in trouble about it, or he tells you this or that or the other and you get in trouble about it. You're on your way to hell right then.
Yeah.
Right then.
Yeah.
That moment that your eyes open and you understand the condition you're in, you're on your way to hell then.
Right.
The thing to do is get that worked out then. This altar's here, and it ain't saved one person yet, but it's a good place to come. It's a good place to seek the Lord. And if you're here today, maybe while we've been trying to speak, this has become clear to you. If that's the case, this altar would be a good place to come and bow down and seek the Lord. And I would invite you to do that today. We're not going to keep you here. We're not going to hold you down here. We're not going to tell you how long to pray here. We're not going to tell you you've prayed long enough here because we don't know. But this would be a good time to seek the Lord.
Yes.
If you know you're lost, it'd be a good time to seek the Lord.
Yeah,
it may be tonight.
Yeah.
It may be tomorrow morning. It may be sometime in the middle of the week, next week, when you're all by yourself. But when it comes, please, please, seek the Lord.
Yeah.
Seek the Lord. Well, we stand together and we sang a verse of some song. If you're here and you're lost, please, while you had this chance, if you're here today and you're unsaved and you're lost and this has become real to you, come and seek God while He may be found. While we stand and we sing.
2, 4, 3. Jesus is tenderly calling me home, calling to